blessing, but just the fact that it was important to experience that blessing. Jacob did the same with his children later on in his life. And so one of the significant ideas about that blessing was to convey to that child that they were valued, that they were special, that they had a place in God's plans and God was going to work in their life. And associated with that was a prayer. In fact, in Matthew chapter 19, in the parallel account of what we just read a minute ago from Mark, we're told that Jesus laid his hands on them and prayed for them. A story is told by an author I was reading. He's a minister, went to Busch Gardens with his family, and one of the things that they were really looking forward to was going to the petting area that where they had a display of animals, and at that time, they had a petting area for baby kangaroos. So that was one of the first things they wanted to do when they were going into this section of Busch Gardens. And when they got there, there was a huge long line. They had their two sons, one age 6 and one age 3. And after they spend the better part of an hour in the line, they come to the place where they're getting ready to be able to pet the baby kangaroo. And there was a sign that said, Nobody under the age of 5 is allowed to touch the baby kangaroo. Now, can you imagine? Now, they probably did not see the same sign at the beginning of the line. And if you've ever done something like that, perhaps at a park or something like that, you can imagine how disappointed that was. And he said his 3-year-old son, Ethan, was just absolutely so upset, in tears, crying for the better part of the day. And he said finally he was able to get his son distracted with a snow cone and some cotton candy, and finally he forgot about it. But you know, just this idea that you're not old enough, you're not big enough. How many of you remember, even as children, you know, being in a place or a situation where you couldn't do something because you weren't tall enough or you weren't old enough? How many of our kids have looked forward to the time when they would finally be able to ride one of those roller coasters at Kings Island because they met the height requirement? Our grandson, Barrett, this year finally was able to make the cut because he was big enough and he was allowed to go and ride that ride. But the message that children sometimes get, and sometimes it's a good message, You're not old enough. This isn't safe for you. You don't belong if you're 2 feet high riding the beast at King's Island. And yet, in the account that we're reading right here, there was no sign that said no children allowed. In fact, as I look at what the disciples were doing here in relationship to what Jesus was trying to do with these children, we look at this, I know I look at this, and I ask the question, how in the world could they have had that kind of attitude about children coming up to Jesus and Jesus taking them in his arms and speaking with them and blessing them? What were they thinking? I mean, it's hard for us to understand, but you have to understand, back in this day, in certain contexts, especially in certain situations, if a rabbi or a teacher was busy teaching adults and doing adult things, children were not considered as important as a lot of these other things a rabbi may have been doing. In fact, we're told on some occasions that Jesus was so busy that he didn't even have time to eat. And so, whatever his disciples are thinking, they're thinking that these children are not important enough. What Jesus is doing with these children is not vital enough that he needs to bother himself with it. And we're told in this passage that when Jesus saw what these disciples were doing, that he was indignant. He was incensed. Jesus was not just a little bothered that they weren't allowing these children to come to him and for him to lay his hands upon them and talk to them and bless them. In fact, Jesus says on this occasion, the kingdom of God belongs to those like these little children. This is what the kingdom looks like. This is an example of what it means to follow God and trust God. This is what it means to place your dependence upon a God who has done everything for you and through whom and with whom you can't do anything that matters. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And the truth is, we see it in children. We see it in their dependence. We see it in their trust. You think about a little bitty baby and how dependent and needy that baby is. That baby can't provide anything for itself. That baby is totally dependent on others to care for him or her. And even when a child gets a little bit older, even then, can you imagine telling your 4-year-old or your 5-year-old, you know, it's about time you've gone out and earn a living and do things for yourself? We don't do that. When they're that age and we cross the street, we still hold their hand, don't we? And to me, I can't think of anything more illustrative of what it means to depend and rely upon God and become like a little child in the kingdom belonging to such as these, with this idea of the essence of what it means to be with God and know God and have a relationship with God is to be like that child, no matter how old we get, and take the hand of God as He leads us. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And that's why, among other reasons, children are a priority here at Northeast. Reaching out to families with children is one of our core values, is one of our core foci. And it's not just about, and I know, you know, when we've talked about being a church that is attractive to families with small children, just like we want to be a church that's attractive to everyone, I understand that that's important in the growth of a church numerically, but you know, I'm not even thinking about that at this point. It's important because the little ones matter so much. Strategies, church growth, all of that aside, at least for now, I'm not saying it's not important. But the bottom line is that our children and those children out there are important to us because they're important to Jesus. Some of you have spent, in fact, over 100 of our members here at Northeast this summer have spent time down in this wing, painting, working. We have a team that has put in literally hundreds of hours of work into this classroom wing because our children, those children, they're important. And Jesus says, don't hinder them from coming to me. Brian's worked very closely. Brian Dixon somewhere this morning. Brian, I'm going to ask you to come up, if you would. And Brian's going to share with us this morning what's been done and why we're doing it related to our kids' men and what the plan is. So, Brian, I'm going to ask you to share some thoughts about that.
Thank you. So, like Grady mentioned, you know, I'm Brian Dixon. I am the deacon of children's education here at this church. I share that role with Brian Wyatt. He's the gentleman who was reading scripture up here before. And we are supported by our wonderful and talented wives, my wife Katie and Brian's wife Christy, supported way more than I'd like to admit. So the first thing I'd like to reiterate is a big thank you. As we identified in our church vision meetings, we identified that children are a priority. And, you know, I'd like to especially thank the elders that, you know, they made an investment in our children to bring us to the ability to do this. And I'd just like to thank you so much for that. And again, the next thank you goes out to you guys. I mean, there's so many of you that you have your fingerprints on this down here, and you should take pride in that. And I appreciate it so much from the bottom of my heart and both of our family's hearts. I appreciate it so much. So what is Northeast Kidmen? Northeast Kidmen, it's a intentional refocusing. It's like a stimulus. It's like a, you know, a kick charge to what we are, what we already had. What we had was it was good. We had lots of things that we did very well. But there were some things that we did that were kind of tired. And mainly the, you know, one of the big things was the space. We did a lot of things to this space. I think we've reconfigured classrooms. We've torn down walls. We've repainted almost every single piece of space that could be painted. We've done a lot of good work here, and it shows. It definitely shows. So, one of the other things, and one of my other responsibilities here at the church as deacon of security, one of the things that we tried to focus on along with this was, you know, making this a dedicated kids wing. We've moved the power class down from the wing over here, and we've taken some initiatives to, about 3 years ago, Carla Alcorn put together the children's security manual, to defining that policy on how we're going to keep our kids safe with the manual check-in. With this initiative, we've put in the electronic check-in to make it convenient. And one of the things that we want visitors and members to understand is that when they come to this church, that their kids are going to be loved, they're going to be nurtured, and most importantly, they're going to be safe. And, you know, it's not the same world that I grew up in. It's not the same world you grew up in. We have to recognize that. So that was one of the other things that we did here with this wing, is trying to focus a bit more on security. One of the other things is the curriculum. We chose a new curriculum. It's called Orange. There's a couple tenets, a couple core concepts of this curriculum that I can overview. The first one is that God designed the church to shine the light of Jesus. We are very fortunate that we have the best advertising in the city, I think. I mean, we literally are a light on a hill. I mean, we've got people driving through here this morning right now, and they're like, what is that? That was the first thing I did when I came to Cincinnati. I drove by there, and I was like, wow, what's that church up there? We're very fortunate. And God really did, you know, he designed the church to shine the light of Jesus. But also, God designed the family to nurture the hearts of children. And that's so important. I mean, it takes a village. So the main core concept of Orange is that it takes these, as the next slide will show, it takes these two concepts and it kind of merges them together. We've got the church, which is the light, and we've got the home, which is the heart. And where it overlaps is you've got Orange, and that's what it's really trying to emphasize. One thing that really struck me is that the church has an average of 40 hours to invest in a child's heart and life in a year. That's 45-minute Sunday. I mean, I checked the math. It's 45 minutes every Sunday. That's a work week. That's a work week for me. That doesn't seem like a lot of time. But on the flip side, parents, they have an average of 3,000 hours to invest in your own child in a year. So, you know, what we're trying to do is how can we merge those together? How can we improve that influence? The family has the most potential to influence a child's relationship with God, and we know this. We're tucking our kids in bed at night, we're talking to our older kids, but the church, it has the most potential to influence the family. One of the things that I really like about this curriculum is, when you were having your children go through kids ministry or whatever, do you really know what your kids, on a day-to-day, we know what we're learning. We're learning about Bible stories and everything, but do you know what, on that specific Sunday, you can sit down and have a conversation with your child on what are you learning? But one of the big things about this curriculum is it tries to improve on that interface as far as how you can connect with your children. And one of the things is they have this ParentQ app, which I think is really cool. And what it does is it gives you prompts. It ties into our curriculum on a monthly basis, even down to the Sunday. It'll help us understand what our kids are learning, what the Bible story is, what their memory verse is, a couple prompts to discuss with them, and continue that conversation that they had on Sunday, continue that through the rest of Sunday, continue it through the rest of the week. And it also, they like to try to rip our hearts out and tell me that I only have 359 weeks left with Noah. Just as a reminder not to miss it. And I think that's so key because, you guys know it goes by in a flash. So our potential to influence a child increases significantly when we partner with parents. And that's really what this is trying to get to. We're trying to work through it. Partner with the parents, try to help that and continue that conversation through the next week, because we're busy. And let's face it, I'm busy. We're all busy. We've been busy with doing this. Because those two combined influences have a bigger impact than just two influences alone. We know the world is trying to influence our kids, not for the good in a lot of cases. So what we're trying to do is trying to capitalize on that. So that is what our new curriculum is about. Those are some of the things that we've done with this space. Again, I'm really thankful for all of you who have taken a part in it. One of the other things about this curriculum is it's new, it's engaging, it's fun. And one of the big things that prevents people from entering that arena of being a Sunday school teacher is just, sometimes it's just really intimidating to, I don't know, can I be a teacher? And I think this curriculum, it helps in that arena. And so I'd encourage you that if you haven't considered being a Bible school teacher or a Sunday school teacher, or if you just want to get some more information to figure out what it's about, come talk to me, come talk to Brian, come talk to my wife Katie or Christy, and we can get you set up, and it's all about that relationship. Kids need relationships, not just from their parents or their peers. They need relationships from other respected elders in their midst, and we have a good opportunity here. So if you're interested in that, please come see me. We can get you set up. We're good for teachers for this quarter, but we get you set up, and I appreciate that so much. So thank you all.
Thank you, Brian. Just want to stress a couple of things in my last couple of minutes here, and that is just very quickly, parents, how can you bless your children? Obviously, there's all kinds of ways that you can bless your child. The time you spend with your child at home, the focus, knowing they're loved, that blesses that child. But you bless your child, I think, in the most important way is by making your life in Jesus, your faith, relevant. In other words, we don't want children here or anywhere to associate life in Jesus with just what goes on at this building. Our life in Jesus is everywhere we go, everything we do. And so the cool thing about this curriculum is that it helps parents integrate faith and what's going on at church with what's going on with life. You have an app that helps you with what they're learning and studying and gives you an opportunity to interact with them at home in a way that brings faith home and makes it real. Number two, and this goes without saying, bring your children to Bible class. I challenge you, if you're not doing that, give them this opportunity to learn and grow and know more about Jesus. And this is a great opportunity for us to not hinder the children to coming to Jesus and being influenced by a lot of people who really love them here and want what's best for them in Jesus. Now, what about as a parent? I mean, what about as a family, a church family? How can we bless our children? As Brian said, and we didn't coordinate on this point, I'm going to just say it quickly one more time, teach them. You can bless our children by teaching them. There are a lot of ways to do that. And we always have a need for teachers. And I'll tell you right now, if you can pass a background check, and that's required for all of the teachers that work with our kids, it's important. If you can pass a background check and you have an interest and love for children, look into that. Talk to Brian, talk to the Bryans, and talk to their wives. Secondly, I encourage you to interact and talk to the kids who are here. We're a family. And there is nothing that warms my heart more than when I see one of our adults taking the time to sit down and talk to and just give a little attention to another child that's not their own. It makes a big difference, doesn't it, parents, when other adults do that with your kids? And so I encourage you to do that. Find an opportunity. Even make it this week to encourage another child in a special way that's not your own. And last but not least, we've been talking about prayer and the power of prayer. Pray for them. Pray for our kids. Pray for them by name. Pray for our kids' ministry. And use this as just an opportunity to grow your family together and us grow our church family together closer to Jesus. There's some great opportunities that we have. And I just thank everybody who's been a part of this. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to close by simply reminding you of what Jesus said about entering the kingdom. He said, if you enter the kingdom, you're going to enter it like a little child. You're going to enter God's kingdom and be a part of His family by humbling yourself and submitting to His will because He loves you. And so we're going to sing a song. If you have any need, whether it's to be baptized today or any other need, let us know. And we want to do what we can to help you. Let's stand and sing.
I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, to us. Please be seated.
For just a few minutes this morning, I want to make a few comments as we celebrate our grand opening of Kidmen today. As we think about family, as we think about spirituality, if we want our kids to be in the best place possible, whether they are 3 or whether they are 4th grade or whether they are 12th grade. And so our children are a part of this, and yet our own spirituality as adults is a part of this, our health of our marriages. And so as we think about family, there's not just a piece, but it's this sort of conglomeration of pieces. And when we can get all of those thriving, life seems to make a lot more sense. And so over the past several months, we have made a concerted effort, as Brian mentioned, to invest into our kid ministry. And so when we talk about kid ministry, we're talking about newborn all the way through 6th grade is down on this end, and then student ministry on the other end. And so for a few minutes this morning, I love reading, occasionally in magazines, they'll have by the numbers. There's just a big number, and I'm always like, ah, I wonder what that number is about, and then they give you a little clip. Just a few little tidbits about Kidmen, and then we will wrap up this conversation. So the number 8. The number 8 is the number of months that have gone into planning for this. I remember back mid-January in Mark and Penny Dugan's living room, 10 or 12 of us sat with whiteboards all around us and said, what would we build if we could start all over from scratch? And I remember that night, the meeting went longer than it needed to, but it was a great meeting, and it was full of creativity, and we celebrated all the things that over the past 30 years, we had a whole board full of all the things that we had done really, really well, and we had another board of the things that we wish we could do even better, and that sort of began our conversation. But 8 months ago, what you get to see today began in a living room, dreaming of what we could create for the sake of our children. The number 12,000. Are the sleepless nights I've had in the past year. No, just kidding. $12,000 that our leadership has invested in this. And so this time last year, roughly this time, some of our elders were in this very space right here talking about some financial challenges that our church had with economy and membership and some of those kind of things. And so as we sat in meetings, and we discussed what are the things that are going to help our church move forward and thrive in 2020 and 2025. Coming up to the very top of that conversation over and over again was children's ministry, children's ministry, children's ministry. And in a season where we don't have a lot of extra $12,000 bills to give away, our leadership was so bought into this that they gave us a tremendous amount of money to invest into creating a space and curriculum and security and all of these types of things to help us be better than we've ever been. The number 40 is the number of new light fixtures. It's no longer a cave that you might take your flashlight into, but it is a well-lit, inviting area. The number 50 is the number of gallons of paint that we have put in that hallway. We have bought a tremendous amount of paint, and every surface has been covered. The number 750 is approximately numbers of hours that have been volunteered. That is tremendous. That is a huge thank you to you guys. A tremendous amount of time, a tremendous, Grady mentioned today, over 100 of you have invested. And I remember those Sundays that we worked and we painted. I thought there was great beauty in that, is that not only the people that had children down that hallway, but some people that have children that are now 50 years old were down there painting for somebody else's children. And I thank you guys so much. Because what we're doing here is not a bunch of parents raising kids. We're trying to raise our children in the context of a church and a family. And so those of you that are empty nesters or grandparents or great-grandparents that came down there and helped paint and help install lights, thank you so much for investing in another generation. What you add to the life of our young people is unspeakable. And so you have wisdom, you have time, you have influence. And so your investment as an older generation into the life of a younger generation is invaluable to us. The number 900 is the number of Sundays that a newborn has until they reach 18. And so as we think about spiritual development in our children, you contrast that with the number of hours that a student may go to school or that a student may take flute practice or baseball practice. And so in a place that our children can have their hearts guided and shaped and molded, from the time a child enters into the world, we have 900 Sundays at church to help make that happen. It's not a lot of time. The number 450, if you have a fourth grader, you have 450 more Sundays with your child. It's not a lot of Sundays. If you've got a freshman in high school, you have 200. If you've got a senior, you've got 50. Limited amount of time, and yet to have a heart that loves God, that desires to know and to walk and to be a disciple of Jesus, our windows are pretty short as far as what we do here, and it just speaks to the value that we have as moms and dads at home to capture those moments. To capture those windows that we have to speak into the lives of our children and to share with them. 1,000, the number of thank yous that as a leadership team that we owe you guys. A big thank you to Brian and Katie and Brian and Christy in helping lead this effort. They put a tremendous amount of time in. For all of you guys that have our teachers, for all of you guys that have painted walls, that have fixed lights, that have torn out sheetrock walls, that have cleaned, that have vacuumed, for all of you, right? It's a huge, huge thank you. And the number two, and we'll finish here, the number two are two goals that we have for Kids Men, and it's pretty simple, is that we want our young children to learn to do two things, and that is number one, we want our children to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. As we think about all the things that we aspire for our kids, for them to go to college and to get good jobs and have healthy marriages and to do all of these things, the one foundation that makes all of that make sense is the love of God. And if we get all the rest of that without God in the picture, we've missed it. And the second thing is this, is that we want our children to learn how to love other people. And so when the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, hey, all of this law, if you had to boil this down, what would you say is the most important thing? And so out of some 700 laws that Jesus could have chose from, he said, the one is this, love God. And I'm going to add another one. I want you to love other people. And so in Jesus' wisdom to take the heart of God and to put it into the life of somebody else, he says, these are the two things that rise to the surface. And in our children ministry, that's two things that we want to rise to the surface. They may miss out on the story of Nahum. There are a lot of things they may not pick up just yet that we'll save for a little later. But the two things we want to zero in on is we want to teach them how to love God and love others. And so this morning, as we talk about lights and we talk about dollars and we talk about walls and all that stuff, it matters how a space feels matters. That's why you pick some of the restaurants you go to, because you like the way that they feel. And yet, we're not shallow thinking that a new Kidmin is all about a space. It's not about a color. It's not about branded signs. It's not about clean carpets. It's not about vinyls on the walls. It's not about those things, but we do believe that those things matter. What matters most is the hearts of our kids. That every Sunday that they get to show up here and to be impressed with the Word of God, to fall in love with the very heart of Jesus and to become more and more like Him. And so while over 8 months we've spent a ton of money, we've spent a ton of time, what we hope for is for a movement of God in our hearts as adults to invest in our children, but also for the movement of God in the hearts of our children to awaken them, to soften them, so that way they can hear the very things that we're teaching Sunday after Sunday. And so this is way beyond our effort. It's way beyond what we can do. And so this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. I know we don't move much during church, okay? Like, it's okay. You can move. And so I'm going to ask you to move. And so this morning, a lot of our children are in here. And so I'm going to ask us to gather around our little kids. So here's a little guy over here. Here's a couple little guys over here. So if you're in this area, why don't you come over here and just put a hand right there on his head. Don't mess his hair up, right? We got some kids here. We got a couple here. So everybody go ahead and stand up. I'm going to help us. Arthritis isn't going to kick in. We got three right here. We got one up here. We got some back here on the back row. All right, we got all our kids. We got a couple back here. We got a couple back here on this back row. All right, you are looking good. You are looking good. All right, so what I want us to do this morning is I'm just going to ask you just to place a hand. Just place a hand on the children around you. Just put a hand on them, gather around them. And so for you young kids, I want you to know that you are deeply loved and that the investment that we've made time and energy and financially, it's all because of you. It's all because of you. Okay? It's not about us as adults. It's about you, and it's because we want you to know God deeply. We want you to follow Him every single day of your life. And so we want to show up every Sunday and bring you our best. But we want God to awaken something in you. So this morning, we're going to pray and invite God into this church and into this hallway and into this ministry for your behalf and for the kingdom. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we get to partner with you. Father, we get to work beside you. We're not God, and we understand that. But we want to bring our A game. We want to bring our best. And so, Father, for all these students here this morning, they all come from a million different places. But, Father, we want Northeast to be a place that they find you week after week. That as they read stories about Jesus, that their heart is wide open to the power that you have and to the call that you have on their life. Father, for all the phenomenal volunteers that we have down that hallway, from check-in to teachers, Father, that every week that they show up with soft hands and gentle voices to speak truth and to see our students, to hear them, to value them. That, Father, maybe that this space here might be the bright spot of their week. And so, Father, what we're doing here is more than just filling a Sunday, more than just checking off something all for our calendar. But, Father, we want this to be a place that we are able to dig deeply into the Word of God, to see your very heart, to be impressed with that. And, Father, that we are changed people as a result. And so, Father, for all of these young students in these circles, I pray that they know today that they are loved deeply, that they are enough, that they are valuable, that they are precious, that they are created in your image, that they are loved by us, that they are loved by you, and that they have a call on their life to be disciples of Jesus. And so, Father, for all the other stories that they hear at school, for all the things that are said about them and to them, Father, I pray that they just wash away and that their hearts would be sold out to what it means to love you and to love the people around them.